Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Luke chapter 2. I think that because we're not having evening service tonight, I should take my evening service time and add it to this morning. What do you think? Is that okay? There's 10 minutes left to the hour, so I might go a little over with that, but I know you'll understand. We've been doing this a little while. Luke chapter 2, find verse 8, where we read Dr. Luke, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, pens these words. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word. For the last couple of Sundays, we've been looking at the fear nots of the Christmas story. If you remember, the first one that we considered was Fear Not, Mary. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And we took note of the word favor, which is also translated as the word grace. And here we find that Mary was recipient of the grace of God. And we are so in need of to thank the Lord and be in gratitude to him for his grace to us. Titus says that the grace of God has appeared unto us. And so we find that in this part of the Christmas story, we don't have to fear because God's grace has been given and poured out to us through the Lord Jesus, God's only begotten Son. The second one was in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, where the angel said to Joseph, Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And so we considered that Joseph's fear had to do with wanting to do the right thing. We're told in that passage that he was a just man, a righteous man, wanting to do the right thing, which would, of course, have been the will of God. He was concerned for the will of God. And so the angel came and said, you don't have to fear, Joseph. What's happened with Mary is God's will, right? That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so do not fear about that. And the angel said for him to take Mary, his wife, unto him, and that is what he did. The third fear not in the Christmas story is right here in Luke chapter 2 to the shepherds. The angel of the Lord came to the shepherds out in the fields of Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks by night. This is a nighttime story, dark out in the open fields. It's not, a nice pastoral sunny setting here. This is nighttime. This is a dangerous time for shepherds and for sheep. There were lots of predators around, and so they were always on guard, keeping watch, which is what watch means. It means to guard over their flocks. And all of a sudden, out of that dark night, the glory of the Lord shines around them. The angel shows up in the sky, and we are told that they were sore, S-O-R-E, or very afraid. The term afraid here in verse 9, Luke chapter 2, is the same Greek word as in verse 10. It's phobos, phobeo. And we talked a lot about, or talked some about, the phobias that people may had at the first of this little series. So at first, when we read the story, we might be tempted to think that the shepherds were afraid of the sudden appearance of the angel. It was nighttime after all, probably very quiet, sheep sleeping, the desert, the shepherds dozing a little around the fire, when all of a sudden a bright angelic figure appears in the night. Don't know about you, but if I was in that scene, I'd be a little afraid as well when that particular situation happened. But not only did the angel appear, but we're told that the glory of the Lord shone all around them as well. Theologians speak of the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God is that brilliant, pure light that effuses the sum total of all of God's attributes, his amazing and holy attributes, all together, just like our sunlight is the culmination of all the various shades of color that can be. This is the glory of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord, we know, was seen in the days of Moses through the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of smoke by daytime. That was the glory of the Lord. When Moses met the Lord up on the mountain and he came back down, the glory of the Lord was reflected in Moses' face, remember? He put a veil over his face because the people of Israel were afraid to look on him because of the glory that was there. And the glory of the Lord, when the three disciples met with the Lord Jesus up on the mountain of Transfiguration, they saw Christ glorified before them. His clothing became white as light, and cloud overshadowed them. And they didn't know what, Peter, James, and John didn't know what to make of it, what to think about it. But they saw the glory of the Lord just for a little bit there on that mountaintop. The glory of God shone all around the shepherds. It lit the night sky with light. Certainly would have been startling, to say the least, and a little terrifying, no doubt. But is this really what the angel was referring to when he said to them, "Fear not"? Fear not. If you consider the remainder of the statement from the angel in verse 10 and 11, we read this. The angel said unto them, "Fear not, for..." In other words, here's the reason why I'm telling you not to fear. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a" what? "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." May I suggest to you for your thoughtful consideration that the shepherds were probably concerned about this thing that we call salvation or redemption. Perhaps they were wondering what the real effect the sacrifices at the temple had. Those sheep that they were looking after would end up as sacrifices in the temple up there in Jerusalem. What good would it do to watch over these sheep if they're just going to be sacrificed anyways? How could these shepherds, who were really looked down upon in society, how could they contribute anything to salvation? What can these sheep do in terms of redeeming us before a holy God? It seems that perhaps around that fire they were discussing some of these things, and the angel shows up, brightens the sky, and says to them, "A Savior has been born to you. Don't fear. God has provided for you what you are concerned about, provided for all men a Savior who can save us from our sins." He told them that they would find this Savior in the city of David, Bethlehem, and they would find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And the shepherds, it seems, knew exactly where that would be. Because when they said, in verse 15, they said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." It's almost as if they knew exactly where to go and look. This babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger in Bethlehem. And so they took off to see what had been told them. Can you imagine the shepherds pondering the doctrine of salvation and then receiving such an overwhelming affirmation that salvation was possible and the Savior, Christ the Lord, had been born that very night? What joy that would have brought to their hearts and to their lives. The little babe in the manger was the promised Messiah who would come and sit on David's throne. He was the Redeemer, the Deliverer of his people, the Christ, as the angel has said here. And the word Christ means the Anointed One. This was the one anointed by God to be the Savior of the world, the Lord. And so in verse 14, this babe would be the one to bring peace on the earth. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. All of the fears that the shepherds perhaps had concerning salvation and redemption from sins, concerning peace with God, forgiveness, redemption, everything else related to their being right with God, were answered by this angel in that one little statement that a Savior had been born for them, the Lord of all people. And what I always find interesting with this incident with the shepherds is that the Lord Jesus, when he came, was pointed out one day by John the Baptist to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And the shepherds were there that night looking after their sheep. It was a visible aid for the Savior who was the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. The glory of God was a visual aid for the shepherds that by Christ the Lord, they would be able to bask in the presence of that glory without fear and without doubt, even without fear of death. So how could that little babe in the manger ever save anyone? He's a little baby wrapped up in swaddling cloths. Well, we know the rest of the story. That little babe in the manger grew up to be a man who at the precise moment in time gave his life as a substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the world. Christ, who is the eternal Word, who became flesh, John 1:1 and John 1:14, the eternal Word who became flesh through the incarnation and was and is and ever will be the only begotten Son of God. He went to Calvary's cross to die in our place, only to rise 3 days and three nights later from the grave. That little babe came to be one of us, a human being, so that he might have a body by which he could bear our sins on the tree. The Apostle Paul wrote many years later, after this eventful evening, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And I don't think the shepherds had any trouble believing that circumstance. They had witnessed the glory of God. They saw the light that night that was unreachable by any of them because of their sin. They knew that they were sinners. But then Paul wrote of a Savior who died in our place. And if you remember 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, where Paul said that he had preached the gospel to the Corinthians and they had believed. They stood on that truth of the gospel. And what was that? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 4. He says, "I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died on the cross for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And we put our faith and trust in that truth of the gospel, and we are saved from our sins, according to the Word of God. Yes, Bethlehem's manger held the Savior of all men. Can you even conceive of it? Can you believe it? Can you think of it? How God had put all of that plan together and brought it forward and made it happen. God's answer to the fear of perishing, the fear of the judgment for sin, the fear of never being right with Almighty God, he gave us a gift, the gift of his Son. And God in his grace and in his mercy provided a Savior. And so perhaps you are fearful this morning of the future. We live in some difficult, dark, sinful days, wicked days. Perhaps you are fearful of the future and how you might fare yourself before the judgment of God's glory. There is an answer through the miracle of Christmas. Christ has been born to be your Savior, my Savior, and you can know him as Savior very simply. This morning, let me just remind you of the ABCs of salvation. You've heard this before. A is that we need to acknowledge the holiness of Almighty God, that he is pure without sin. And we need to acknowledge our own sinfulness before such a holy God. B is to believe. Believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe the word of God, what God has said. And in believing in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we know from the Scriptures that we can be saved from our sins. And the C is to call on the name of the Lord. For Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the ABCs is very simple to be saved. It's the hardest part is admitting that we need a Savior, that we are sinners before that holy God. Someone I remember from school days said that the hardest part in getting somebody saved is to get them lost in the first place, because a lot of people don't think they are. But the gospel points out that we are sinners before a holy God, and Christmas identifies the fact that we are sinners and that the glory of the Lord is available to those who will put their faith and trust in God's gift of the Lord Jesus. Most of the world around us today has no fear of God, either because they're atheists, they don't believe anything like that, or because they are liberal in their biblical theology, or they are just simply ignorant and unlearned about the doctrine of salvation. Seems to me that we as believers need to pray for those who are around us, family, neighbors, our city, our leaders of our country, who may not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I think we need to pray that God would instill a little fear in those people, that they would fear, and that fear would make them muse on their own need of a Savior because of their own sin. A fear that would lead them to their need of forgiveness and lead them to Christ as their Savior. We can pray that way. We don't have to just do it on Wednesday. We can do it every day of the week. And I think that we need to do that. That God, through the Holy Ghost, would bring the conviction of sin that is part of the Spirit's responsibility and counsel to do. If we pray that he would work in lives, even around us here in this neighborhood, perhaps the Lord would be gracious to them and bring them to a point of confession, repentance, and faith in Christ. And believers, us who are here this morning, you have responded to the call to be saved by believing God and trusting Christ as your Savior by faith. Isn't it interesting that our fear of perishing in hell has now been replaced by the reverential fear of glorifying, praising, obeying, and worshiping God Almighty through the Lord Jesus? We no longer fear death. We no longer fear judgment because our faith is in Christ. And he has taken away all of that fear from us, delivered us from that fear. Consider the shepherds one more time. Here in verse 20, the shepherds returned back to the field. They had left their sheep, and they went back after seeing Mary, Joseph, and the Lord Jesus. They went back glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and that they had seen, just as it was told unto them. No longer need they fear about being right with God. God has helped them to see the Savior that he has sent to them. The Lamb of God has come to take away their sins, your sins and mine as well. Christmas reminds us of the salvation that God has provided. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has made it abundantly clear in the Word of God that this is what Christmas is all about. The baby in the manger became a man who died on the cross for our sins. So this Christmas, let's always praise the Lord for the giving of his only begotten Son to be our Savior, and to rejoice along with the shepherds in giving praise and glory to God for all the things that the Lord has brought to pass in the giving of his Son to be our Savior. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for this record that you have given to us of the incident with the angels and the shepherds. Thank you for all that took place that day and how the shepherds were able to rejoice, not only in hearing the message, but in seeing the Christ as well, in that laying in that manger, and to be able to return back to their own jobs and with praise and glorifying you for that which you have done. We just thank you for recording that for us, that we might be able to look at it, read it, and muse on it a little bit. We thank you for the message from the angel that the Lord Jesus has been born. Christ the Lord, a Savior, has come. And we thank you for that and pray that each one of us here in this room today knows you as Lord and Savior this day. And for that which you have done for us, we give you thanks. And for those in our neighborhood around the church, perhaps the neighborhoods in which we live, who may not know Christ as Savior, we pray, Lord, that you would instill within them a fear of a judgment, of sin, righteousness. We pray that someone might come along their pathway and share with them the gospel. And if you lead some of us into that particular kind of expression, situation, we pray that you would give us the words to tell those who are searching for peace in their hearts through difficult days in which we live. May this Christmas be a blessed time forever in our hearts and in our minds. Help us never to think casually about it or to forget it through the rest of the year, but to remind ourselves that this is the best thing that God has done for this creation, sending his Son to be our Savior. And we thank you for that. Pray you'll bless your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.